Okay, so this is Alpha week one, but this is also a worship service. I don't know if how many of you actually know that we're sort of changing things up for a bit during our Sunday service because Alpha will begin at 10:45, okay? But yet, so sometimes our service runs till 10:45, and so we want to avoid that. So we'll try to end on time, sometime between half an hour from now, like quarter after, to 10:30. And there's also another change. We're kind of throwing a lot of changes to you guys this morning, so bear with us. The other change is that this morning you're going to hear from two people, not just from me, but two other people. You'll find out who they are. Actually, I'll tell you now. It's Pastor Tina and Joe. They will be sharing really quickly and briefly their experiences of God. So welcome. Yeah, come on in. Grab a seat. Yes. And the reason why we're doing that, the reason why we're changing this up is because we sense that the Holy Spirit has been prompting, at least on my part, for a long time now, that we want to hear more testimonies. We want to hear how people have been experiencing God. And I know that we have been. I know that we have been reading the Bible, getting a word from God. We have been experiencing Him, His word, His provision, and all of that. But a lot of times, these sharing tends to stay at a one-on-one level or within the community groups. But we want to give it an opportunity, give you an opportunity to actually share a bit more on that. So that's why we're changing it up, and we're inviting not just Pastor Tina and Joe, but all of you who would like to share. So the sign-up form, it's actually printed online. So go online and look for the sign-up form there, and that you can sign up. And if you don't know, talk to your community group leader as well, so that we can actually have more people to share. And you'll get to have a sense of what God is doing. And I remember when I was in Cuba for a mission trip, and that was quite a while ago. It was like 5 years ago, and we were visiting Cuban churches. And one of the things about the Cuban churches is that they tend to be smaller, even smaller than what we have right here, like the number of people that we have. And during the worship service, they would say, "Does anybody have a word they would like to share with people?" And you would hear people just like you and me in the congregation, they would say, "Peace." That's one word, peace. Another person would say, "Love." Or another person would say, "Guidance." And so that's how the congregation actually participates. And so therefore, we really want to open this up for you guys. The message this morning, it'll be shorter. And for the next 10 weeks, most of the sermons will be from Acts. We have several guest speakers who will be speaking on different topics, but most of the other topics will be on Acts. And if you have your Bible with you, and if you don't, there's a Bible actually right in front of you. Turn to the book of Acts, okay? And if you don't know where it is, would people help if you find that others are trying to find where it is? Okay, turn to Acts chapter 1. We will begin in chapter 1. Okay, turn there. Acts is a very interesting book. Yes. Okay, you know what? Hey, let me just read the passage and then I'll invite the people to share, okay? So, Acts chapter 1. Let me just read this to you. Are we ready? Acts chapter 1. In my former book, in this book being Acts, the Gospel of Luke, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen,
After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Verse 6. Then they gathered around him and asked him, and asked Jesus, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intensely into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And this is what we'll be reflecting on. Chapter 1, verse 1 to around verse 11 this morning. Witness, verse 8, "You will be witness. You will be my witness from Jerusalem and to Judea and to all of Samaria." Witness is about people who have met Jesus, people who have seen Jesus. And so now I would like to invite Pastor Tina to come up to share about her experiences. And then it'll be Joe's turn. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Well, what shall I share? I think it's fitting for me to share about the Summer Thrive experience. However, I'm not sharing from the church perspective. I'm sharing from my own personal Thrive experience. It is a journey of my heart. Early in the year, I asked the Lord, how could I serve him this summer? As many of you know, in the past 12 years, I've been serving in VBS, in Markham, most of my summer. But this year, I feel that I should do something differently. I didn't receive any spectacular vision, but as I made myself open to God and pray, it seems to me that God was working through my heart and guide me to discern what I care about most. So I realized I care about this community in Scarborough, in Rosewood. Why? Maybe because I grew up here. I attend Albert Campbell. And these two big high schools in my neighborhood has always been an attraction to me. I care about organizing activities for youth, but it has to be fun and meaningful. And I want them to come into this church while we are hosting the activities, and ultimately, hopefully, they may encounter God's presence and love through us. So these are my wishes and dreams. I do have a lot of doubts and fears about myself, my ability. After all, I'm not just double their age, but triple their age by now. And I have a long list of, you know, what I can do and what I cannot do. And there is still a long list. And after this Thrive program, I have a long list of my weaknesses as well as my strengths. So by far, sharing faith is difficult, especially in today's culture where you're supposed to keep your faith privately, right? So many youth did gave us very good feedback about the program, except a few who comment that, you know, they're not comfortable when in the career workshop we share about faith. or we say grace before meals. So I ask myself, as a leader, like, shall we cut out all these faith elements to run programs like this? I asked the Lord and reflected, and I think the answer is still no. If we do so, if we cut all these faith elements, we lost the essence and the role of the church. To acknowledge His presence in our midst, to proclaim Him, to give Him glory. As we lift God's name up, persecution is a given. People feeling discomfort is a given. You know, look at Prophet Daniel in the Bible. You know, despite being persecuted, he persistently prayed to God publicly and give Him glory. So this is not just the Youth Thrive program, but my own Thrive program. Learning to be stern in proclaiming God and sharing our faith. So now I can see that as I look back, I had a terrific summer because I have journeyed with God. I know the strength did not come from me, but from God. And we loved because He first loved us. So after all, it is a journey of my heart, and I do want to give thanks to God for this opportunity, you know, that He worked in me, through me, and through many of you who help out on this journey. So thanks be to God.
Thanks, Tina. Hi, I'm Jo. My full name is Joanne, actually. But people call me Jo. I'd rather sit. Today, I'm sharing how God has been shaping me and guiding me in the day-to-day snippets of my life. For those who doesn't know me that well, I've grown up in a church ever since I was a kid. And my parents both goes to church. In fact, my dad is a pastor, to be exact. And I've seen how my dad's service to God is a blessing, and it encourages me a lot. As I've grown to know God through studying the Bible as I grow up, I truly experience that this God that once parted the Red Sea, fed thousands with five loaves of bread and two fish, and turned water to wine, still do miracles this day and age, even in small little ways in my life. So a couple weeks ago, I had a really busy stretch at work, and also I'm helping out at church for something. And it's one of those weeks that seems like everything just kind of piled up together, and I felt very overwhelmed by everything. So that night, I remember I was busy preparing for something for the church that happens the next day, and I was mad at my husband. So for those who don't know, my husband is Pastor Dave, and I was mad at him for not helping me around the house. So wives are licensed to be mad at their husbands, right? That's a joke. Thanks for laughing. Okay, because in my mind, I was thinking, hey, I'm helping you out, Dave, so how come you're not helping me? After some heavy slamming of cupboards and drawers later, I know something doesn't sit right with my heart, but I can't really get it out. Like, I can't get out of it myself. I feel something is right, it is wrong, but I just can't help myself slamming things. So after a whole night of wrapped up in my frustration, the next day, as I was driving to church and I was praying to God for the event, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. The Holy Spirit says, Joe, do you remember that you said you will serve me? Do you remember you said that? And right away, my tears ran down my cheeks, and I know it's God speaking to me, reminding me that when I was a university student, I made a promise to God that I would serve Him. Him, my Lord, my Savior, who saved me while I was a sinner. God reminded me that I'm serving Him, and I'm doing these things, I'm not serving Dave. So right away, my madness was gone, and I realized my perspective was wrong. I was not supposed to be mad. And as I focused again, once again, that it's God that I'm serving, everything became clear. And my heart feels so right at the right place to serve my Lord, my God. I feel so much more energized to do what I'm doing because I know that I'm serving the Almighty God who saved me and whom deserved my devotion. So that's how God has been working in my life. I can see God's hand working on my character through the years. I used to be a lot more self-centered and prideful, easily angered and easy to judge. But as I prayed for character to be more like Jesus, I know God answers my prayer. I'm far from perfect, I know, but God shows up and reminds me from time to time how to go to the right direction. I know God continues to shape me because he loves me, and I'm more aware of his work as I'm more aware of his presence. I hope this sharing encourages you in some way, and I'd love to hear you share on how you experience God in your daily lives. Thank you.
Right. So when we were talking about sharing on stage and things like that, I wasn't thinking about having, you know, being put on the spot by my wife. But that is life, and the Holy Spirit also teaches me as well. So I hope that you guys get a glimpse of what we mean by sharing. Who you are will dictate what you share, all right? We're not expecting people to share, like, pastoral stuff in terms of, like, church and things like that, but if that's how God works in you, then share that. If God is moving in your heart that you have an experience at school with your classmates and things like that, and God was working there, share that. And if you were among friends, your coworkers, and you have an experience there with God, share that. Okay, so be true to who you are and the experiences that God has given you. And also, you will have noticed that it doesn't have to be long. Okay, it doesn't have to be long, but we would like it to be prepared. Okay, Pastor Tina and Joe have both sort of scripted it, prepared it, and so we would encourage you to also do that. Now, sharing of faith is very, very important. The reason why we are looking into Acts is because Acts actually works with the Gospel of Luke. They are written by the same writer, Luke himself, who is a doctor, who is also considered by many a historian, okay? Because he documents how the movement of the church by the power of the Holy Spirit and what God was doing in the early church. So Luke and Acts, it would be fitting to actually put them side by side. So while Luke was chronicling, the Gospel of Luke was chronicling the Jesus movement, who he was, Acts is more about after Jesus was physically lifted, his ascension into heaven, what was left of the church, okay? Maybe I didn't put that correctly. Maybe I put it sort of pessimistically. But it's what does the church do after Jesus ascended? So you should look at it from the eyes of, this is like the adventure begins. This is where the church, the apostles, the disciples, they used to live with Jesus. Jesus was physically in front of them, living with them, teaching them. They saw Jesus performing miracles. They were taught by the words of Jesus, comforted by him, rebuked and corrected by him. But now, Jesus is physically gone. Jesus is no longer with them. Their leader, their rabbi, the one whom they spent a lot of time, is now gone. It's now gone. So what does the church do? Now, we don't have to guess. We don't have to guess. The entire book, which has 20, a book of Acts, which has 28 chapters, has to do with the church expanding. Moving first from Jerusalem to the surrounding areas. Okay, and they were moving quite rapidly by the hundreds and thousands and eventually moved all around the world. And the reason why we're sitting here in Scarborough, going to a church, being Jesus followers, is because of the work that God has done through the early church. through the early church. God has been doing work for centuries, even prior to the early church. But it is because the church continues to share, continues to expand, that you and I now are here. But we don't want to lose the plot, because church isn't just about me, a pastor, being here preaching almost every week, but it's actually about the work of the people. It's actually about your ministry. It is actually about you, us, being the church. You see, in my mind, when God has placed a calling in my mind and my wife Jo's heart, we were always thinking that the church isn't really just for us. It is not just for the people here. It is not just for the people gathering together. We have in mind a church that gives generously. We have in mind a church that actually responds to the Spirit of God. It is fluid, if you will. If the Holy Spirit prompts the church to do something bold and full of faith, then the church will trust in the Lord, and they will do it. And they will do it, right? And so this is how we have always envisioned the church. And I know that that might be different from how we see church. Sometimes we see church as this sort of stable, and if you will, stable status quo, you know, that we want to maintain a certain stability, that we need a sort of gathering place, which is true. The building is awesome, right? But sometimes that hampers and it stops us from responding to God. So let's return to Scripture. And the reason why we're talking about Acts, we want to look at it a little bit more intently over the next 10 weeks, and including this one, is because the book of Acts is actually the work of the Holy Spirit. Even in Luke, there are many, many references of the Holy Spirit, but Acts is even more prevalent. So let's take a look. So let's turn back to your Bible, Acts chapter 1. So you know that at verse 1, it says, in my former book, which is the book of Luke, Theophilus, he is a government official, okay? Luke is actually writing to a government official. And what he wrote about in the book of Luke was all about Jesus. It was what Jesus had done, what Jesus had taught, until the day that he was taken up into heaven, right? But verse 2, it says this. And Jesus was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Let's pause there for a minute. Jesus was ascended into heaven, but before that, what did he do? He gave instructions to his apostles. He taught them. The apostles are those who are sent, okay? And pay attention to this. Not just any kind of apostle. What does Scripture say? The apostle he had chosen. Do you remember all the way back in the chapter ones of the Bible, of the Gospels, right? What did Jesus do? Jesus went out. Well, I mean, it was Jesus' birth for Matthew, right? But within the first few chapters, you would see Jesus going out by the Lake of Galilee, and he would be calling his followers. Remember that? What would their followers be doing? The followers would be like Peter, who was by the lake with the nets on the boat. They were in their job. They were on the job. They were fishermen. They did not have a lot of knowledge, but yet Jesus says, come and follow me. These are not special people by worldly standards. And in a lot of ways, they're like you and me. Or you and I. Not especially talented. Sorry for that. But God chose you. God chose his apostles, his disciples. God chose us to do it. There's something very precious there, that he intently looked for you and called you
to follow him. So the church is filled with people who are chosen, who are called to follow Jesus. And when Jesus was giving the instructions to teach his apostles and those who followed him, he was giving it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was actually mentioned right in the first couple of verses in the book of Acts. So that shows you what Luke had in mind. And then verse 3, after Jesus' suffering, he presented himself to them and gave convincing proofs that he was alive. So remember, Jesus died. 3 days later, he was in a tomb. But 3 days later, he resurrected. And now the tomb is empty. People are wondering where he was. The Roman officials and the soldiers made up a story that says his disciples stole his body. Right? But then Jesus started to appear for over 40 days to different kinds of people, especially to his disciples, giving convincing proof, just like what Luke was saying here. Now, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So that is the thrust of Jesus' teaching, the kingdom of God, talking about people being invited into the kingdom of God. And verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. What is this gift? Which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. I'll give you an example from the other side. My son sometimes would come and ask me for a gift. But if he asked me for a gift, it depends on whether me and my wife would decide to give it to him. Because sometimes, my son is here. Sorry, Sydney. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's what Daddy does. Spill the beans. Sometimes the stuff that he asked for, I won't give him, right? But it's really up to the giver of the gift to give the gift. You know what I mean? It's really up to the giver of the gift to give the gift, okay? So the Holy Spirit here is the Father's gift to his church. The Father who generously give the Holy Spirit to you and I, who follows him. And I want you to focus on this word gift because it is grace, pure grace. You can ask for it, but it depends on the Father to give it to you. And so I want you to focus on this word gift and thank God for it. Praise God for this gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this gift has power because John the Baptist, who already is immensely powerful, because when he preached the baptism of repentance, people went to him in droves to be baptized, okay? And Jesus says, John baptized with water, but guess what? You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's something, quite something. That's powerful. It's not just water, but God himself. You will be immersed in God. You will submerge yourself in God, in the Spirit of God. Can you imagine how powerful that is? Now, the Holy Spirit, I have to say, in our circle, we tend to shy away from it. We don't know what the Holy Spirit actually does because, we're kind of scared of talking about the Holy Spirit performing miracles, healing, or even the Holy Spirit speaking to us. But yet Jesus here talked about the Holy Spirit openly as a gift. And he asked the disciples to wait because this gift will be given to you. Now, the disciples, sensing that something powerful, Jesus is talking about something powerful here, they asked this question. They said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So Israel has been on exile for a long time now under the oppression of the Romans. Are you to restore the kingdom because of the power of the Holy Spirit? And Jesus said to them, no, this is not, it's not for you to know the time and the dates the Father has set. But verse 8 here. Now, you have to listen very carefully because verse 8 is really the center of the book of Acts. It's the thrust of the entire book of Acts. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus here gave out, it's not just about the kingdom of Israel. It is about the power of the Holy Spirit empowering you right where you are in Jerusalem, and he will move you out in concentric circles to the neighboring nations to actually share the good news and the gospel. Now, what does being baptized by the Holy Spirit means? What does having the Holy Spirit in you means? In Romans here, it says this. Now, I don't have it printed, but you can write it down. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans 5, 5. And hope does not put us to shame, the Apostle Paul writes, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I'll read that again, Romans 5, 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Once again, the Holy Spirit is a gift that is given from God. So thank him for it. And the sign, the mark of the Holy Spirit living in you is that God's love is in you. Is that God's love is now poured into your heart. And where is your heart at? Where is your heart at right now? Now, this might be a very challenging question for us to think about. Scripture says that God's love is poured into you through the power of the Holy Spirit. The mark of someone who has the Holy Spirit is someone who is filled with God's love, someone who is assured of his salvation through Jesus Christ, someone who is, there is something intimate about this. There's something intimate about this relationship with God, that the love of God now is in you and is filling you up. And you can sense his love. Now, different people sense God's love in very different ways. Who actually, when you walk in nature, you sense God's presence? Yeah, yeah, that's great. That's actually one of the ways that you sense God, right? Have you ever looked up into the sky and you see all of the stars, like the darkened skies, and you see the stars, and you might catch a couple of shooting stars or two, and your heart is just pounding. It's like so awesome, wonderful. God's love through the power of the Holy Spirit fills you there. But some of us also have some sort of different level of experiences where you sort of heard God speaking to you. How many of you have heard God speaking to you? I have, right? In very different ways. Pastor Tina and Joe both shared that they have heard God speaking to them. I remember recently over the summer, I went to some conference and there was this leader leading worship, and he said, why don't you, all of the people, there must be like 300 people there, just take a moment to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Maybe bring him a question. Bring the Holy Spirit a question. I'm not going to tell you the question. It's very, very personal. But it's like, I just talked to Spirit. I was like, Holy Spirit. And I asked the question. I paused and I wait. And as I wait, there was a word that emerged in my mind. And it was very clear and crisp, that word that was in my mind. And the next thing you know, I was crying. I was crying, I was sobbing. And this wasn't in my teenager years, guys. This was just this summer. And you're crying sort of, you know, there are strangers beside you. And I know for it was so real that God was speaking to me. Filled by the Holy Spirit. Filled by the Holy Spirit. And you might be sitting there, you might be wondering, I want that experience. My prayer is that you will have those experiences. And some of you already have had those experiences. And I pray that we will experience the Holy Spirit even more. Okay? Now, we're doing Alpha, yes. And, you know, we have been spending a lot of time planning, a lot of time thinking. Have any of you been to the basement? Yeah. Yeah, we're setting that up, right? But guess what? People coming to Jesus, it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. There's the work of the church, and there's the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's rely on the Holy Spirit this morning, eh? Yeah? As we serve and as we do ministry, because the power has already been given to you. The power has already been given to you. Yes, the power to be witnesses. Those of the people who are witnesses are those who have seen the incident or the person. Those who are witnesses of Jesus are Jesus' followers who have met him. And that's the church. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please speak to us. Holy Spirit, please guide us. Holy Spirit, you are a gift from the Father God, and we thank you. Holy Spirit, we know that you are here with us, and would you make your presence known from within, God, that we can sense your work, that we can sense you speaking to us this morning, and we're no longer afraid because we are chosen by you, not so that we can puff ourselves up or be arrogant, but because we can have this assured sense of how precious we are in your eyes. And that we don't have to doubt anymore whether we are good in your eyes. We know that we're sinful, but you saved us. We know that we're precious in your eyes. We're chosen. You've given us the Holy Spirit. So I pray for my brothers and sisters and my friends this morning that we will be assured that we have the Holy Spirit in us. And for those of you, those of us, those of you who do not have the Holy Spirit, receive him. Receive the Holy Spirit. Trust and receive the Holy Spirit. For he is the Spirit of Jesus. And so God, we thank you. We thank you and we pray for what is to come, for what you will do and how you will lead the church. And we give thanks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's rise.